And a great theme at Rosh Hashanah is embrace the lamb so that you can welcome the lion.
When do we welcome him? We blow the trumpet when we sight the moon. When will we see the moon? We don't know. Could that be why Yeshua said regarding his return, no one knows the day or the hour, but we will know the season. Could that season be Rosh Hashanah?
Discover how understanding the Jewish roots of your faith can transform your life and the way you read the Bible. Coming up on Jewish Voice. Welcome to Jewish Voice, where we explore the rich heritage of the Jewish faith and its fulfillment in Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah. Today, we're turning our hearts towards one of the most sacred and beautiful times on the Jewish calendar, Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year. More than just the start of a new year, Rosh Hashanah is a time of hope, a time of reflection and renewal. Together, we'll uncover its biblical roots, whether it's the sounding of the shofar calling us to repentance, the sweetness of apples dipped in honey, or the reminder that God is the King of creation. Rosh Hashanah is brimming with inspiration and spiritual depth. Stay with us as we explore how this holy day holds profound meaning for your faith and offers a fresh start for every soul. Shana Tova. May it be a sweet and blessed new year for all of us. Jack, I love Rosh Hashanah, but it's not in the scriptures.
It's not. It's not. Now, the Hebrew words Rosh Hashanah actually mean the beginning of or the head of the year. And it speaks of a civil new year because in ancient Israel, there wasn't just one new year. There were actually four new years. You had a religious new year, a civil new year, a new year for kings, and a new year for trees. And this year, actually, this new year, Rosh Hashanah, is the start of a civil year, the start of a year where basically God says, now that we're starting off a new year, let's forget the things of the past, let's repent of our sins, and let's start this new year off on a good footing.
Well, just to clear it up, there's Bible scholars that are watching the program and saying, I know my scriptures, and the first month of the year is Abib, or Nisan, which begins the period leading up to Passover.
Right.
The first of the month. The Lord clearly states that in Torah. But this is the first day of the
seventh month.
The seventh month. So go into that a little deeper. It's a civil new year, but explain how that originated.
Exactly. Originally, of course, we had the first month aligning with the schedule of the temple festivities going on. But after the second temple in Jerusalem was destroyed, Rosh Hashanah, or actually in Hebrew, Yom Teruah, the day of trumpet blowing.
Now that's what's in the Bible.
That's in the Bible.
And that's what you're waiting for, I know. Leviticus 23, right?
That yes.
This is to be the first of the year, the first month, the first day of the first month, and on the 10th day, and then the 14th, you'll do these preparations for Passover. But this is the seventh day, the first day of the seventh month, and the rabbis, right? After the destruction of the temple in 70 AD, actually, beyond that, after 135 AD, right after the Bar Kokhba revolt, you have Rabbinic Judaism establishing Rosh Hashanah on the biblical observance of Yom Teruah.
Correct.
The Feast of Trumpets.
Yeah.
So dig into that more. Let's dig into that.
The day of trumpet blowing. And of course, as we know in ancient Israel,
they're holding us accountable.
Very much so.
There
were two types of trumpets in ancient Israel, silver trumpets and also ram's horns. Why two different trumpets? Different significance. The silver trumpets were blown as a call to war. The ram's horn was blown as a call to spiritual awakening, that when you heard the sound coming out of the ram's horn or the shofar on this day of trumpet blowing, it was a time to get right with God.
This is where the Hebrew really comes alive, because also the Jubilee is the blowing of the silver trumpets.
It is.
And you could really can dig into the Hebrew and see what's the ram's horn, the shofar, or the silver trumpets. But this is the blowing of the ram's horn on this first day of the seventh month.
And you know what's significant about it, actually, Jonathan? The ram's horn was blown every single month, on the first day of every single month in ancient Israel. Why? Because they didn't have a calendar back then. How would they know when the new month began? They would have to watch. There would be two witnesses, by the way, in this goal. Two witnesses who would watch and look for the moon. Because in the Jewish calendar, every month starts with a new moon. You would have to sight the new moon. But on the seventh month, it was significant. The seventh month was considered, okay, this is the start of the civil year. Let's blow the trumpet. And on this month, the people were to believe that this was the voice of God coming out
right.
of the trumpet at
and
that
what
time.
I, what I, the connection that I see
yeah.
In rabbinic thinking, which I actually makes a lot of sense, is that the first day of the seventh month was the beginning of creation.
Yes.
According to the rabbis, it's also the event, the day that Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice, and what was caught in the thicket? The ram's horn.
That's it.
The ram's horn. And so it begins a process. So it makes sense to me that this is the beginning of a new a beginning, just a beginning.
Yeah.
And you have what follows up to Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, a period known as the Days of Awe.
Yes.
And I love this. This is so important for you, the Days of Awe. Tell us about the Days of Awe.
In Hebrew called Yamim Noraim. So you've got this 10-day period between Rosh Hashanah or the Day of Trumpet Blowing and Yom Kippur, a 10-day period. And it's actually a period of introspection. Rosh Hashanah, you hear the call of the ram's horn, God saying, get right with me, turn from your sin, turn to me. You've got 10 days to think about what you want to do. So it's a time of introspection and self-examination. It is mentioned in Scripture, Lamentations 3:40, where God says, basically commands us to look in, examine ourselves so that we can repent, return to him at the calling of the shofar between yeah. the two festivals.
So I understand why they made it the head of the year,
yeah.
where you're preparing yourself for Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. The shofar is being blown to summon the people to God.
Yes.
And then you're entering into this time of introspection, this time of humbling yourself in the sight of the Lord. I love the verse that says, if we draw near to God, he draws near to us. And that is true. You may be in a rut today, but I've got news for you. The shofar is blowing in your life this week. Get ready and move closer to God, and he'll move closer to you. This Days of Awe are a fantastic time for believers in Yeshua. I'm talking about you, to really be introspective and prepare for the celebration of the atonement of the Messiah
yes.
on Yom Kippur.
The biblical fall feasts are God's appointed times, moments when he calls his people to meet with him. These holy days are filled with prophetic meaning, pointing us to Yeshua, Jesus, and they carry powerful relevance for believers today. To help you discover the richness of these high holy days, Jewish Voice has assembled a special resource package. With your gift of $40 or more, you'll receive the book, The Fall Feasts and Hanukkah, uncovering how each feast connects the Old and New Covenants and reveals Jesus as Messiah. Rabbi Jonathan Bernis's DVD celebrating Rosh Hashanah, Yom Teruah, exploring this prophetic feast of trumpets, and Appointments with God, a devotional guide to encounter him through each of the biblical feasts. And if you give us a generous gift of $300 or more, you'll also receive a beautiful shofar made from genuine kudu horn. In biblical times, the sounding of the shofar announced God's appointed days. Each one is unique, fully functional, and a remarkable keepsake for your home or place of worship. Your gift today equips Jewish Voice to proclaim the good news of Yeshua to Jewish people around the world and provide vital humanitarian aid to those in need. Don't wait. Call, write, or visit us online at jewishvoice.tv to sow your gift and receive these powerful resources. Together, we're bringing hope, healing, and the message of salvation to Jewish people around the world.
You alluded to the story in Genesis 22, where Abraham brought his son Isaac up on Mount Moriah, and you alluded to the fact that a ram was caught in the thicket. There is so much beautiful symbolism in there of repenting and returning to God, because what happens? Abraham was about to bring the knife down on Isaac, and an angel of the Lord said, Abraham, stop. Now that I know that you're a man of faith, You don't need to kill your son. God has provided a substitutionary sacrifice. In fact, this is so amazing. In the original Hebrew.
I knew you were going there.
I knew what it says in the original Hebrew, but nobody goes there. So we need to go there. It says in the original Hebrew, well, here's what you read in your Bibles. It says, God will provide the sacrifice, or God will provide the sacrifice. But in the original Hebrew, it says God will provide himself as the sacrifice.
What a picture of the provision of Messiah.
Amen.
The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, the ram caught in the thicket.
Yes.
And the only son of Abraham is spared later by the only son of God himself. It's
Second
fantastic.
Corinthians 5:21. He became sin who knew no sin.
Yeah.
Our substitutionary sacrifice, that the ram would die so that Isaac might live, that our Lamb of God might die so that we might live and have eternal life.
I hope you're
life.
Seeing that this is a really important celebration for you to understand as a follower of Jesus. It really, really is. Let's talk for just a couple of minutes about traditional observances and customs. So the synagogue is full on 2 days a year.
That's it.
Right? I was telling earlier, Jack, about and we have the same temple, basically. It's the same picture everywhere around the country, where we have these large synagogues, these large temples, and it's only filled twice a year, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. It's kind of like the typical traditional
Christmas and Easter.
These are our two big events. And we're coming into the temple, the synagogue, to begin this process of introspection, of prayer, of preparing ourselves for the big event of Yom Kippur, these 10 days of awe. It's the same all over the world, right? We're praying, we're reciting liturgical poems that we're all familiar with since childhood, and scriptures that reflect God's kingship, God's mercy. And it's a great event. I mean, I really have a great memory as a child of going with my family.
I do too. And when you go to the synagogue at this time, during those days of awe, you're hoping that during those 10 days that God makes a decision, get a load of this, to write you in the book of life for another year. And how incredible that is, that points to the book of Revelation, where it says that the books were open in the book of Revelation. The desire is, what book is God going to write me in?
Yeah.
Will I turn from my sin and turn to him so that I can be written in his Lamb's book of life?
Two other things. A beautiful ceremony that we do every year, and we take white bread usually, and we throw it into the water. Tashlich. Talk about tashlich. This is a great thing for Christians to do, I think.
Okay, so tashlich for me is a memory, and I'll explain why in a minute. There's a method to my madness here. What you do on Rosh Hashanah is you get together with other people, and you actually take breadcrumbs, and in some civilizations, they actually take little pebbles.
You didn't use Wonder Bread?
We did. We didn't
use Wonder Bread.
It helped build strong bodies 12 ways, and it helps you get rid of sin in 12 ways. I think we did.
Listen,
use
it was better throwing it into the water,
yeah,
frankly,
throw it
than
into
eating
the water.
It.
Yeah. You take breadcrumbs and you walk to a body of water. Now, you know why it's a memory? Because we live in Arizona. There's no water here. We're like the Colorado River is 3 hours away. Where are you going to walk? We can't walk that far. But you would walk to a body of water and you would take these breadcrumbs, symbolic of sin, and cast them into the water, symbolically casting your sin into the sea. Book of Micah talks about that. But you know what else? Isn't it interesting that we now have this imagery, Jonathan, of the sea being the repository of our sin? And again, we move forward to Revelation because there's so much Rosh Hashanah imagery in Revelation.
So much.
Where the beast comes out of the sea and our sins are gone once and for all.
We're casting them away as far as the east is from the west.
Amen.
And it's a great thing to do and confess your sins as you throw a little breadcrumb in. It really works, and you feel great afterwards. One last thing quickly before we take a break, apples and honey.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I'm going to eat one of those right now.
I know you will.
A
They're
sweet
all shiny.
Year. It's a sweet celebration.
We want a sweet, sweet new year to come. Also, we eat a bread called challah, and it's usually like this, but it's round. It has raisins because it's a round bread. We hope that the joy will be ongoing and sweet in the years
it's
to come.
It's a celebration, a new year. You're a new creation in Messiah. That's
Amen.
What it reminds me of. The old has passed away, and all things have become new. Next, when we come back, we'll explore how Messianic Jewish believers celebrate Rosh Hashanah, blending an ancient tradition or traditions with fulfillment found in Jesus the Messiah himself. It's really eye-opening. Don't go away.
The biblical fall feasts are God's appointed times, moments when he calls his people to meet with him. Filled with prophetic meaning, they point us to Yeshua, Jesus, and carry powerful relevance for believers today. To help you discover their richness, Jewish Voice has assembled a special resource package. With your gift of $40 or more, you'll receive the Fall Feasts and Hanukkah, Rabbi Jonathan Bernis's DVD celebrating Rosh Hashanah, Yom Teruah, and Appointments with God, a devotional guide to encounter him through each of the biblical feasts. And with your generous gift of $300 or more, you'll also receive a beautiful kudu shofar, just like those blown for centuries by Yemenite Jews during these high holy days. Each one is unique, fully functional, and a wonderful keepsake. Your gift today helps proclaim the good news of Yeshua to Jewish people worldwide and provides vital humanitarian aid. Watch how our partners helped change a little boy's life in a Jewish community in Ethiopia.
In parts of rural Africa, the average life expectancy is only around 46 years. One of the silent killers? Dental infections. Left untreated, they can spread through the body, leading to heart disease, systemic infection, and even death.
Nobody thinks about that in the States because we get dental care taken care of. But the fact is, that infection will spread into his heart, causing endocarditis, causing heart disease, causing potentially massive infection in his body and probably premature death.
This is Ospero. He's 13, a day laborer, the sole provider for his sick mother. He came to the clinic alone, barefoot, with a toothache.
And I looked down on the ground and he was just stacking some rocks in this formation. And I noticed he didn't have any shoes on. And immediately my thought was, it's hard to imagine what the sensation on his feet is, feeling the sharp rocks against his feet. As you can see all around, the rocks here on the clinic floor are jagged, large stones.
Thanks to generous donors, Ospero received his first pair of shoes.
And his smile was just so bright, and he came back down here, and he had come to the clinic because he needed some dental work done. That's how he heard about the clinic. And so that small measure of just extracting some infected teeth could save a life later on, can actually save his life.
One boy, one smile, one life changed because someone cared enough to give.
And because of what you do by being part of this mission, by giving to Jewish Voice and by providing the resources we need for dental care, for eye care, for medical care, Ospero today knows that God loves him. And he's bringing a little bit of that back to his home to share with his mother. And so thank you for being a part of this.
If you want to help Jewish people in need around the world, don't wait. Call, write, or visit jewishvoice.tv today.
Jack, I want to focus now on the Messianic Jewish movement, which we've been part of for decades.
Yeah.
We love Rosh Hashanah. And people don't anymore, but used to say to me, you're a Christian now. Why would you do this legalistic stuff? There's nothing legalistic about Rosh Hashanah and the festivals of the Lord. They're not Jewish festivals, actually. They're the festivals of the God of Israel. And that means you enter into that as a follower of the Jewish Messiah. You become a spiritual son or a spiritual daughter of Abraham. And so these are accessible to you and valuable to you. And we so enjoy, Jack, the celebration of Rosh Hashanah, eating the apples and the honey, the blowing of the shofar, which incidentally connects to a foreshadowing of the Messiah's return.
Yes.
Take us there.
It does. And you know what? Right before we get there, I think it's important for everybody to remember that, look, Jesus, Yeshua, does not begin in Matthew. Jesus does not begin in Matthew. You could find him from the first letter of the first word of the first book, Genesis, all the way to the last letter of the last word of the last book, Revelation. He is in Rosh Hashanah through the blowing of the shofar.
It does announce the presence of God, the summoning to worship. There's a lot of important things in it, but it also is connected to the return of Jesus to the earth.
There it is. Why blow the shofar in ancient times? Because the fulfillment is found in 1 Thessalonians 4. The Lord himself shall come down from heaven with the shout, the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet blast. Not the silver trumpet, that kind of trumpet.
That's the shofar.
The shofar. And the dead in Messiah shall rise first, and then we who are alive shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. By the way, that means with witnesses. And so we shall always be with him. But you know what another theme is of the blowing of the shofar? It's going to be blown in Revelation at the coronation of the king.
You have the first and second coming of the Messiah. You have the coming and the return.
Yes.
You have the Lamb of God in his first coming. You have the Lion of the tribe of Judah at his return. Wow. And a great theme at Rosh Hashanah is embrace the Lamb so that you can welcome the Lion.
Amen.
Right? It's better to welcome him. I would rather hug a lamb than hug a lion.
You and me both. And the question is, when do we welcome him? Because here's the other thing about the shofar, about the blowing of the trumpets. When they were being blown on the first day of the seventh month, obviously people, the two witnesses were waiting. When do we blow the trumpet? Well, we blow the trumpet when we sight the moon. When will we see the moon? We don't know. The moon is hidden. And so because of that, out of that came a tradition that Rosh Hashanah is also called the hidden day or the day that no one knows. Could that be why Yeshua said regarding his return, no one knows the day or the hour, but we will know the season. Could that season be Rosh Hashanah?
Jack, I want to shift for just a couple of minutes. October 7th changed everything. Not only in the Jewish world, not only in Israel, but waves of anti-Semitism that have really brought the Jewish community here in America into a state of fear and uncertainty. And it's an added weight at Rosh Hashanah when we talk about repentance, when we talk about prayer, when we talk about renewal. And the calling of the followers of Yeshua, the Christian, according to Romans 11, is to provoke the Jewish people to jealousy, right? To bring them into an understanding of where repentance and prayer can bring you to a renewal that's found in a relationship with God.
Yes.
So in the midst of shaking, I think there's a great opportunity for you that are watching to reach out to your Jewish neighbor and express God's love for them. Ultimately, the greatest blessing is the gospel.
It is. And indeed, in this new year that we are looking forward to, now that a new year is coming, will you take this new year and make a commitment to share the gospel, to share the truth with these Jewish people now that it's a time of renewal, a time of repentance, a time of getting right with God? Will you help carry out that biblical calling from Romans 11? That is the question.
This is the week of Rosh Hashanah. Why not dedicate the next week or the 10 days building up to Yom Kippur to really search your heart, to ask God to show you areas of your life that have been hindering your relationship with God, the people that you need to be reaching out to and sharing your faith with, the people you need to be blessing, the need to forgive those that you're offended against. Those all are the kinds of things that the Lord has designed to take place during Rosh Hashanah, building up to Yom Kippur. So take advantage of this feast of the Lord, the festival of the Lord, and top it off with some apples and honey along the way because it's all sweet. We can find profound encouragement in the truths of Rosh Hashanah. It's a season of hope, of renewal, and trust in the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There's so much hope surrounding Rosh Hashanah, and more Jewish communities need to know the greatest hope and truth that Yeshua, Jesus the Messiah, has come. I want to ask you to partner with Jewish Voice to reach Jewish communities in Israel, in the U.S., and around the world today. Please say yes to this invitation to share the good news of Yeshua, of Jesus. We'll be right back.
At Jewish Voice, our mission is simple: to share the good news of Yeshua, Jesus, with Jewish people around the world, and to provide humanitarian aid where it's needed most. For over 50 years, Jewish Voice has been proclaiming the message of salvation, starting in Israel and reaching Jewish communities in India, across Africa, and beyond. In remote villages, we hold medical outreaches that offer free care to people in desperate need. Doctors, dentists, and eye specialists treat thousands of patients, and each person hears about the love of Yeshua, Many receive clean water, eyeglasses, or life-saving medications. Thanks to our partners, Jewish people around the world are receiving the kind of miraculous healing that Jesus himself provided. The lame walk and the blind see again. But the work doesn't stop there. We also partner with congregations to disciple new believers, plant messianic congregations, and equip leaders who will carry the gospel forward in their own communities. Your support makes all of this possible. Each gift you give brings practical help and eternal hope to Jewish people in need. And today, as you stand with us, we want to bless you with special resources to help you connect with God's appointed times. With your gift of $40 or more, you'll receive The Fall Feasts and Hanukkah, Rabbi Jonathan Bernis's DVD, Celebrating Rosh Hashanah, Yom Teruah, and the devotional Appointments with God. And with your generous gift of $300 or more, you'll also receive a beautiful kudu shofar, unique, fully functional, and a meaningful reminder of God's call to his people. Your gift today not only equips you with these resources, it helps bring hope, healing, and the message of salvation to Jewish people worldwide. Don't wait. Call, write, or go online to jewishvoice.tv to give now.
Jack, we have only 2 minutes left in the program, and I want to pray for people for the Rosh Hashanah theme, for renewal,
yes,
for introspection, for breaking through these encumbrances that have held them back, that have held you back from entering into a new dimension, a deeper dimension in your relationship with God. Mm. And I also want to pray for those of you that are watching that don't have a relationship with the Lord. You've never received Jesus as your Messiah, as your Savior. He's knocking at the door of your heart, and you know it. So don't waste this opportunity. Jack, would you lead us?
Amen. I would be delighted. Heavenly Father, the theme of Rosh Hashanah is teshuvah. It's the Hebrew word for repentance. And it doesn't only mean to turn away from sin. It means to turn away from sin and to return, Lord God, to you. I'm reminded of the Torah service in the temple. Cause us to return to you, O Lord, and we shall return.
Yes, Lord.
Bring us back to you, Lord,
yes,
just
Lord,
as you did in days of old. Heavenly Father, I pray for each and every one that you renew the days of old for them, that they would take pause and return to you.
Yes,
in
Lord,
Jesus' name, in Yeshua's
Lord,
name, amen.
And we intercede for Israel, for Israeli and Palestinian, for Jew and Arab. We pray for your peace plan, which is the Messiah, which is Jesus, Yeshua, to come into the hearts of these people. Lord, bring peace to the Middle East through the proclamation of the good news of Jesus. And we pray, Lord, that during the season, the days of awe, that there would be an outpouring of your Spirit, both on the church and on the Jewish people, Lord. We pray for new beginnings. In Jesus' name we pray.
And we invite you to continue to discover more about the Jewish foundations of the Christian faith. So visit us at jewishvoice.tv, where you'll find resources to help you grow spiritually and opportunities to join the mission of reaching Jewish communities with the good news of Yeshua.
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. The Bible says they will prosper that love thee. This is a week of prospering for you as you seek the Lord. May this new year be filled with peace, blessings, and a renewed sense of the great love that God has for you. And don't forget to visit us online to discover more about the richness of the Jewish faith and its fulfillment in the Messiah Jesus. Until next time, shalom, and God bless you. Shana Tova.